Okay, let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 1, if you would. I'm going to begin a short series entitled The Way of Salvation. And beginning in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at God's Word with regards to the creation, and we're going to see how God created the universe and the things in it, and man and woman, and how His heart and His original intent was for them to live. In the beginning, it says in verse 1 of Genesis 1, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, or became that way. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So God introduced light, and He introduced light, whatever that was, way before the sun was made, later on in the preceding, or the verses following. It says that God, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters, as if God was observing what was going on, and God was going to do something about it. In verse 9, after God starts with the days and starts making things, it says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
Now we're going to begin to track this word good throughout the creation. And we're going to see that everything that God puts in order, God forms, makes, creates, is good. It's a good thing. In verse 16, you can always read the rest of this yourself. I'm just going to skip over and pick up some of these points. It said, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. That would be the what?
Sun.
The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. So, there was light around in verse 4, but He didn't actually make the sun, which we get our light from every day, until verse 16. And it says in verse 17 that God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day, and to rule over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was, once again, what?
Good.
It was a good thing. So you see, God's preparing the earth, and God is placing in the universe those things that are necessary to take care of His earth. And one of those things was a moon and stars and the sun, among other things. And it says He saw that that was good. In verse 21, it says, and God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth, how?
Abundantly,
after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was what?
Good.
Once again, it was good. And you know, I think one of the last things that needs to be explored with regards to man is the waters. Man goes to space, he's climbed mountains, he's gone to remote areas of land and stuff, but really the research and the understanding of what's in the waters, they really haven't even begun to tap into it yet. And it's amazing, it says that the living creatures in the waters brought forth abundantly. You know, as much as we fish, and it is many billions of people there are in the world, right? There's like a lot of fish out there. And they just continue to bring forth abundantly over and over and over again. I just think that's so amazing, especially around this time of year. You know, if you plant a tomato plant, that thing might yield to you 20, 30, 40 tomatoes. You plant a pepper plant. That pepper plant will yield to you the same, and it just will keep producing and producing. How just out of one little seed, the abundance and how God multiplies that just over and over again. And if you ever saw some of these shows on TV about the fishing and all these things, there's just like billions and billions and billions of fish. It's one of the areas that man hasn't gotten to destroy yet. That's what I'm trying to say. And if you leave it alone, you understand? If you just leave it alone, it will bring forth abundantly. But when man gets his hands in something and tries to mess up with things, he messes up the laws of God. They brought forth abundantly, and God said that it was good. Verse 25 says, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind," that would be me, "and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was what? He was happy with the wolf. He was happy with the seal. He was happy with the lion. He was happy after everything. And he said, let them produce after their kind. Well, in verse 31 of Genesis 1, it says, "And God saw everything." Okay? We could have just read this verse. God saw everything. That covers it. For all the preceding verses that he had made. And behold, it was what? Not just good, but it was very good. So God was pleased with his workmanship. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I guess the show was called In the Beginning, up at Sight and Sound. You guys went to it, right? Well, they have a scene there. I don't know how they did. He was in sand or something. Remember, you couldn't see anything. And it was God breathing into Adam. And just that scene, how he just and came up out of it was unbelievable. That's what I think of when I read this verse. He breathe into him, and he became a living soul. He became a living soul. Verse 8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." So in Eden, this area that he placed the man, and the man's garden was on the east side of the garden. God planted, or in the east side of Eden, God planted a garden. He planted a garden. Now, I do not know how big paradise was, but I do know that God chose the east side, and there he planted a garden, and there he put his man. And it says in verse 9, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for what? Good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." This is the first time we have a mention of this particular tree. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now the tree in and of itself allowed the possibility for evil or the knowledge of good and evil to enter into the world. Okay? The tree was a conduit. It was a point of contract. The tree of life was there. The tree of life was there. And if you read the record, God said to Adam, when later he told Eve, that of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest what? Freely eat. But in the day that thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely what? Okay, well, here the Bible teaches us that in the garden, it says in verse 9, in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge And it says, every tree pleasant to the sight, it says, and good for food, and the tree of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the tree of life was in the garden, correct? Mm-hmm. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden, correct? Mm-hmm. We know later on that once they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that God did not want them to partake of the tree of life. Because if they partook of the tree of life, then there'd be no way for man. Okay? But the point is this. They were allowed to eat from every tree in the garden. The only thing that God said not to eat from was the tree of what? So would they have been able to eat from the tree of life?
Yes.
Yes, they would have. You see? If you look at it somewhat like a probationary period where God has this man and he has this woman and he gives them these rules and these regulations, not many. He says you can do whatever you want. He says just don't do this. And he said that you're allowed to partake of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Eve was brought to Adam, and they were married, okay? What would have stopped Adam and Eve from walking over, figuratively, to the tree of life and eating from the tree of life? It would have been available, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure it was. Okay? So, and if they had done that, from what we know about the tree of life, that would have sealed the deal. Because so much so, because God was afraid that they would do it after they were in an unredeemable, they were had experienced sin, and he didn't want them to remain that way. Now, the tree of life once again appears in the book of Revelation. So if they were able to eat from that tree of life, okay, was it available for them to eat of that instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
Yes.
And we would have had a whole different outcome, right? But that's another story for another time. Look at verse 15. Just things to think about, because I know it was possible, because I know God was concerned about it, because he put an angel there to keep the way of the tree of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lest they take and eat of it.
Mm-hmm.
They should have took and eat from them before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it would have been okay. Verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. See, he put him in there, he gave him a job. And it's important for a man to work. Now, you know, if you are in a position where, you know, you're handicapped or you have something that's preventing you from work, that's one thing. But if you're good and you're healthy and you're a man, you should want to work because God designed you to work. And when you work, you get a fulfillment out of life. You feel like you've done something. You feel like you've earned, you've provided for your family or yourself. It gives you a sense of accomplishment. See, I don't know how these people today walk around and collect welfare, get a PACE card, get all these other things, and don't work. I mean, I look at them every day. They sit on the steps, and they just sit there. I would get bored out of my gourd. I mean, they just sit and they don't work. And yet, some of the people who should be receiving help, should be receiving assistance, they don't get it. And you got good, healthy people out there, men specifically I'm talking about, that could go to work, but they refuse to go to work. And you know why they refuse to go to work? Because our government has made it so easy for them to just sit home and give them an entitlement mentality. And our government understands that because the more zombies that they can clone like that, that ensures the next zombie that sits in the White House. You know, they give them cell phones. They give them hospitalization. They give them food cards. They give them this. They give them Section 8. They pay for their housing. I don't know about you, but I got to pay for my housing when I had a mortgage. I got to pay for my car payments. I got to pay for my insurance. And I'm happy to do so. Just leave me alone. You got people out there who are healthy people, and they just don't want to work. Something wrong somewhere. Something wrong somewhere. But I take comfort in the scripture that says, I am the Lord God, I will repay. Anybody who's lived on this earth for any amount of time knows, as the book of Ecclesiastes teaches, the race is not always to the swiftest. In other words, it's not fair out there. Just because you're the best and you work the hardest doesn't mean that you're going to get reward because of the world we live in. And that can be discouraging. It can be discouraging when you look around and you see your tax money's wasted, when you see all these gifts given away, people don't appreciate it, don't care about anything, and you're working your fingers down to the bone just to try to get ahead. You know, I just got a permit for a roof that I'm having put on one of my rental properties. And they got the permit, and this is what they told the roofer, because he came down to me and he said, I don't understand why they would even, this is beyond stupid. They said, if you come across a piece of wood that needs to be replaced. Now, you know when you do a roof, sometimes you got a piece of wood that needs to be replaced. This is what they told him. You need to call us so we can inspect and make sure that the piece of wood that you put down is right. Now, you got to understand, when you deal with the borough, you can call the borough, they don't call you back for 3-4 days, let alone have an inspector. And the borough of Norristown, just for the record, doesn't have a building inspector. Okay? The building inspector of the borough of Norristown got arrested because he let a place be built. Get a load of this. He let a place be built, and you know what they put in for the fire escape? The steps? Wood. Wooden stairs. Wooden stairs. Big stink. The mayor got arrested, went to jail. You know, this is history. Anyway, so he comes to me. He says, now tell me. He says, if I'm coming across and I'm going to button this job up for the night, he says, they expect me to call them. They don't have an engineer. They outsource it now. They have to contact an engineer. He's going to come over. He's going to look to make sure that the 4x8 piece of plywood he nails down is okay before he can cover it in case it rains. And he says, that makes like zero sense. I'm telling you a true story. So you know what I told him? You know what I told him. I said, you just do whatever and don't worry about calling no burr. They got their permit money. If they say something, you call me. How ridiculous is that? But that's just man. And it just goes to show you that they don't have a sense, a common sense, an ounce of common sense between them. Because you know what it is? They've gotten rid of all the people that have knowledge about electricity, about plumbing, about roofing, about building. And they got some monkeys down there and just reading from a book. They're just reading from a piece of paper. Because you can tell when you know somebody, when somebody knows something about your field. And then you can tell when somebody's just reading off of a sheet of paper and they're just following the sheet of paper. That's where the world is. And it can be discouraging. I want to do the right thing. I want to have a permit. But I'll guarantee you that if it needs a piece of wood, he's putting a piece of wood on. I ain't waiting for no stupid engineer. That's ridiculous. Well, it says that in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman. And he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So, up until the end of the second chapter, the closest thing that we have to a problem in paradise is the potential of sin, the potential of disobedience. And it's only the potential of disobedience on one point. And that one point, the only thing that was mentioned was don't eat from what? That one tree, right? And isn't that just so like man? God says, have at it, do whatever. Just don't do this. That's all he said. And everything's good, 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 very good, right? Now, verse 1 of chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said that God did not want them to partake of the tree of life. Because if they partook of the tree of life, then there'd be no way for man. Okay? But the point is this. They were allowed to eat from every tree in the garden. The only thing that God said not to eat from was the tree of what? So would they have been able to eat from the tree of life?
Yes.
Yes, they would. You see? If you look at it somewhat like a probationary period where God has this man and he has this woman and he gives them these rules and these regulations, not many. He says you can do whatever you want. He says just don't do this. And he said that you're allowed to partake of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Eve was brought to Adam and they were married, okay, what would have stopped Adam and Eve from walking over figuratively to the tree of life and eating from the tree of life? It would have been available, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure it was. Okay? So, and if they had done that, from what we know about the tree of life, that would have sealed the deal. Because so much so, because God was afraid that they would do it after. They were an unredeemable, they were had experienced sin, and he didn't want them to remain that way. Now, the tree of life once again appears in the book of Revelation. So if they were able to eat from that tree of life, okay, was it available for them to eat of that instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
Yes.
And we would have had a whole different outcome, right? But that's another story for another time. Look at verse 15. Just things to think about, because I know it was possible, because I know God was concerned about it, because he put an angel there to keep the way of the tree of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lest they take and eat of it. They should have took and eat from them before, right? Then it would have been okay. Verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. See, he put him in there, he gave him a job. And it's important for a man to work. Now, you know, if you are in a position where, you know, you're handicapped or you have something that's preventing you from work, That's one thing. But if you're good and you're healthy and you're a man, you should want to work because God designed you to work. And when you work, you get a fulfillment out of life. You feel like you've done something. You feel like you've earned, you've provided for your family or yourself. It gives you a sense of accomplishment. See, I don't know how these people today walk around and collect welfare, get a pace card, get all these other things, and don't work. I mean, I look at them every day. They sit on the steps, and they just sit there. I would get bored out of my gourd. I mean, they just sit, and they don't work. And yet, some of the people who should be receiving help, should be receiving assistance, they don't get it. And you got good, healthy people out there, men specifically I'm talking about, that could go to work, but they refuse to go to work. And you know why they refuse to go to work? Because our government has made it so easy for them to just sit home and give them an entitlement mentality. And our government understands that because the more zombies that they can clone like that, that ensures the next zombie that sits in the White House. You know, they give them cell phones. They give them hospitalization. They give them food cards. They give them this. They give them Section 8. They pay for their housing. I don't know about you, but I got to pay for my housing when I had a mortgage. I got to pay for my car payments. I got to pay for my insurance. And I'm happy to do so. Just leave me alone. You got people out there who are healthy people, and they just don't want to work. Something wrong somewhere. Something wrong somewhere. But I take comfort in the scripture that says, I am the Lord God, I will repay. anybody who's lived on this earth for any amount of time knows, as the book of Ecclesiastes teaches, the race is not always to the swiftest. In other words, it's not fair out there. Just because you're the best and you work the hardest doesn't mean that you're going to get reward because of the world we live in. And that can be discouraging. It can be discouraging when you look around and you see your tax money wasted, when you see all these gifts given away, or people don't appreciate it or don't care about anything, and you're working your fingers down to the bone just to try to get ahead. You know, I just got a permit for a roof that I'm having put on one of my rental properties. And they got the permit, and this is what they told the roofer, because he came down to me and he said, I don't understand why they would even, this is beyond stupid. They said, if you come across a piece of wood that needs to be replaced. Now, you know when you do a roof, sometimes you got a piece of wood that needs to be replaced. This is what they told him. You need to call us so we can inspect and make sure that the piece of wood that you put down is right. Now, you got to understand, when you deal with the borough, you can call the borough. They don't call you back for 3-4 days, let alone have an inspector. And the borough of Norristown, just for the record, doesn't have a building inspector. Okay? The building inspector of the borough of Norristown got arrested because he let a place be built. Get a load of this. He let a place be built. And you know what they put in for the fire escape? The steps? Wood. Wooden stairs. Big stink. The mayor got arrested, went to jail. You know, this is history anyway. So he comes to me, he says, now tell me, he says, if I'm coming across and I'm going to button this job up for the night, he says, they expect me to call them. They don't have an engineer. They outsource it now. They have to contact an engineer. He's going to come over. He's going to look to make sure that the 4x8 piece of plywood he nails down is okay before he can cover it in case it rains. And he says, that makes like zero sense. And I'm telling you a true story. So you know what I told him? You know what I told him. I said, you just do whatever and don't worry about calling no burr. They got their permit money. If they say something, you call me. How ridiculous is that? But that's just man. And it just goes to show you that they don't have an ounce of common sense between them. Because you know what it is? They've gotten rid of all the people that have knowledge about electricity, about plumbing, about roofing, about building. And they got some monkeys down there and just reading from a book. They're just reading from a piece of paper. Because you can tell when somebody knows something about your field. And then you can tell when somebody's just reading off of a sheet of paper and they're just following the sheet of paper. That's where the world is. And it can be discouraging. I want to do the right thing. I want to have a permit. But I'll guarantee you that if it needs a piece of wood, he's putting a piece of wood on. I ain't waiting for no stupid engineer. That's ridiculous. Well, it says that in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman. And he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So, up until the end of the second chapter, the closest thing that we have to a problem in paradise is the potential of sin, the potential of disobedience. And it's only the potential of disobedience on one point. And that one point, the only thing that was mentioned was, don't eat from what? That one tree, right? And isn't that just so like man? God says, have at it, do whatever. Just don't do this. That's all he said. And everything's good, 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 very good, right? Now, verse 1 of chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, you know, the serpent's in the garden. Okay? So, he must have had the ability to be there. Whatever form he took, or whether it was an angel, whether it was a guy, I don't know what it was. I do know that he's in the garden, and that he has the ability, and he had the right to be there, because if he didn't have the right to be there, he wouldn't have been there. Okay? God had educated his children. God had said to his children, this is what it is, this is what I want you to do, this is your responsibility, this is what I don't want you to do. God did not keep the devil away from his children. You understand? Because if God would have just put up a big cage and put the devil on that side and put his children in there, there would have never been whatever. God chose to teach his children what's right and what's wrong. And then God said to his children, have at it. Now he knew that his children, that his man, that his woman, that his son, that his daughter were going to encounter problems. Okay? But God chose to deal with those problems in life that his children were going to encounter by simply teaching them what's right and wrong and allowing them to make the decision whether they would trust God and believe God and believe God's word and act appropriately, or be tempted to believe something other than God's word. Now, I think that that's a tremendous truth. You know? Because if God Almighty dealt with Adam and Eve that way, and who has a better plan for raising children than God Almighty? If he utilized that technique where he didn't lord over them, he didn't, you know, demand this, demand that, demand the other. He just said, this is the way it is. I expect you to understand. I expect you to act accordingly. Because within here, you have the law of accountability and you have the law of responsibility. God expected them to be responsible individuals. God expected them to act accordingly. But he didn't expect them to do that without preparing them first. You understand? He gave them what they needed. He told them about the tree of life. He told them about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them about working. He told them about one flesh. He told them all these things that they needed to know. He prepared them. And then he said, now go out and live for me. But the devil came. Eve knew enough to at least go get her husband. Okay? Because the devil didn't come to Adam. The devil came to Eve. And Eve knew enough to go get her husband. But Eve didn't get her husband. But on the other hand, I want to tell you this. Adam allowed his wife to be in a place where she shouldn't have been. In other words, if Adam would have guarded his household, which was the garden, Eden, his home, and if Adam would have been a better guard with his family, with his wife, you know, when it says, now the serpent was more subtle, and he said unto the woman, Adam would have said, shut your mouth. You got no business in my home. You got no business talking to my wife. You better turn around before I put my foot up your butt. You understand? But it doesn't say that Adam was anywhere to say that. Verse 2 says, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now the conversation begins. And you know what? It's just the hardest thing in life for some people just to turn their head and keep their mouth shut. If she would have just turned her head and kept her mouth shut, this would have ended. He would have had to go somewhere else, right? And he didn't have much choice because there were only two people in the world at the time. Is it hard for you to do that? Do you have a problem in that area that you got to get the last word in, that you got to engage in a conversation even that you know that's not going to be to any profit? It's a good thing to learn. And it just seems to be the hardest thing, just to shut your mouth and just turn your head. Because you know what happens? You cut it dead. There's nothing there. You just get up and walk away. They're sitting there talking, arguing with themselves. Really? But it just seems that you got to have something more to say, or you got to have something to add, or you got to make your opinion on, or you're saying and then this and then this, and then before you know it, it's a blaze. It's a blaze. My father was not a smart man academically, but when it came to wisdom, the man was brilliant. I mean, I would watch him talk a guy with a shotgun down, where the guy would place the gun down and he'd buy my dad a drink because he was a bartender. And he would just sit there and he would just talk to him and be logical. And before you know it, this guy that came in that wants to shoot up people and kill people, he would just, I'm sorry, Al, I don't know what I was. He had that gift. He had that ability. See? And part of his ability was he knew when to shut his mouth. Sometimes he'd be up here saying whatever, he'd just walk away. Hey, Al, what do you think? He'd go like this. So he just got to clean the glasses. Got to cut the tomatoes. Got to make the meatball. He'd just walk away because he knew there's no profit in that. That's a great lesson to learn. You know, the Bible says, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Right? But we're coming there with a truckload behind us saying, where do you want me to dump this cord? And a can of gas. It's a great lesson to learn. Well, she continues in verse 3 and says, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Of course, you see where she's changed it. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's exactly what that tree was called, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant unto the eyes, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did what? He did eat. Now, what I find interesting about this particular verse is that from everything I've been able to work, there's not a period of time in this verse. She takes the fruit, she eats it, she sees it, and then she turns and she hands it to her husband, and he takes and he eats. And you could read about this through different commentaries and different things. And if that is true, which I believe it to be true, that means who was with Eve while this was going on?
Adam.
That's what it means. And if that's the case, then the blame for what is going on should lie on who?
Adam.
It should lie on Adam. Because God charged Adam with the responsibility of Eve. And God charged Adam with the responsibility of paradise. And the verse says, she saw it, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, what's the word?
With her.
With her. The NIV translates it, who was with her. And he did eat. And other versions translate the same. Who was with her, and he did eat. And so, for sake of illustration, it was an apple. She took the apple like that, and then she hands it to him, and he takes a bite of the apple. Now, what's that tell you about the man? That tells you that the man wasn't wearing the pants in the house. That he let the woman do the talking for the household. Now, there's nothing wrong with letting a woman do the talking for the household when it comes to buying a dryer or a washing machine or a KitchenAid blender, you know, and a lot of other things, okay? But there is always something wrong with letting a woman do the talking when it comes to the spiritual welfare of the house, unless she's lined up with the man and they're both lined up with God, okay? Not that a woman can't do it, because there's plenty of women who do it that are single, and there are plenty of women who do it who are married because their men are too lazy to do it. You know, you go around the churches of the United States on Sundays, and you'll see that a lot of those churches are filled with women. They're filled with women. You know why they're filled with women? Because the men are home sleeping. Instead of being leaders, instead of grabbing the family together and say, hey, honey, we're going to go worship as a family. Instead of setting a pace, a trail, a direction towards God, they say, oh, you take the kids and you go to church. Now, you know, if that happens once in a while, you deserve to lay in bed and you deserve to sleep. But if that's your M.O., and you're not taking charge and being a father to your children and a husband to your wife and being the leader of that family, directing them towards God, there's something wrong. And there was something definitely wrong with what Adam was doing, with what Adam was doing. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So they're running away from God now. See? Because sin has been introduced into the world. And a lot of times that's what sin will do to a person. Sin will make you run away from God. But what we're going to see is that sin isn't what keeps God away from you. See? Because the sin problem has been dealt with in Jesus Christ. But the devil's a liar. And the devil lies about salvation. The devil misrepresents God. The devil misrepresents Jesus Christ. And the devil, for the most part, misrepresents God, Jesus Christ, and his holy word in the church. And he blames God, and he tries to convince people about God that it's contrary to the real heart and truth of who God is. It says, the Lord God called unto Eve. Verse 9, right? Don't say that. It says, the Lord God called unto who?
Adam.
And he said unto her, where art thou? Who did God address?
Adam.
He called Adam. Where you at, Adam? He didn't say Eve. Now, did God see what the devil did to Eve?
Yes.
I mean, he wasn't sleeping, right? He saw what happened, right? Okay. Who did God call?
Adam.
He called Adam. See, God knew full well what happened. God also knew full well that Adam was there and didn't open his mouth to say beans. And that when Eve gave him whatever, he just followed right along. And who did God hold accountable? Adam. Who did he go after? He said Adam. And you want to know something? Gentlemen, it's the same way in our homes today, myself included. God holds you accountable for your household. See, regardless of what your wife, your children, whatever, he holds you accountable for your household. And you better make sure that you have the word of God living in your house to the best of your ability and that you're taking your family towards God. And no excuses. Oh, we got lots of excuses, but you ain't the one that came up with the excuses. Look at this. He said, where you at? In verse 10, he said, I heard your voice in the garden, excuse me, and I was afraid because I was naked and I did hide myself. So the first time introduced into the world, we have fear now. Sin, fear. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? Did I command it you not to eat? Oh, no, that's a stupid question. God already knows he ate. Did you ever see your kid? He's there with a chocolate chip cookie, right? Smeared on his mouth, smeared in his hand, all going, did you eat that cookie I told you? That's what God. In other words, Adam was caught with his hand in a cookie jar. And the man said, what'd he say? The woman. What's her fault, right? It was the woman. Whom thou gavest to me, be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. See, that's why I say you guys got your excuses today. You got no excuse. You have your excuses because your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, you inherit that ability to make excuses from Adam. That's not the only thing you inherited from him. We all inherited what? Death and sin. Right? And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And then the story goes on from there. Look at Romans chapter 5. We'll close here in a second. Romans 5. I really believe had Adam taken his God-given authority and privilege and right to rule his house the way he should have, you know, it wouldn't have went down that way. He stood by, he let his wife do the talking, and the only time that he opened his mouth was when it came time to bite the fruit. That's the only thing recorded in those first 7 verses of Genesis 3 of Adam opening his mouth at all. The only time he opened his mouth is when he took a bite of that fruit. In Romans 5, it says in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have what?
Sin.
Now we're in need of a Savior. Now we're in need of a way. Now we're in need of salvation. Up until Genesis chapter 3, the world was fine. Things are fine. God equipped Adam. God authorized Adam. God gave Adam the ability. He gave Eve everything they needed. All they had to do was follow along with the plan of God. But the devil got in the mix, and now there's a need to help man out of the quandary that he got himself into. And that's where we're going to begin to look as we start to develop the way of salvation, which ultimately led in the life and death and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you, Father, that we can look on these great things, we can learn from these truths, and we can apply them to our lives today so that we can be our best for you. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.